God's word is Psalm 2. Every Lord's Supper, Lord's Day, we are going through the Psalms. Today, Psalm 2. This is the reading of God's word. Why are the nations in an uproar, and the peoples devising a vain thing? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, "Let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us." He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then He will speak to them in His anger and terrify them in His fury, saying, "But as for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, 'You are my son. Today I have begotten you.' Ask of me, and I will surely give the nations as your inheritance, and the very ends of the earth as your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron, and you shall shatter them like earthenware. Now therefore, O kings, show discernment, take warning, O judges of the earth, worship the Lord with reverence and rejoice with trembling. Do homage to the Son, that He not become angry, and you perish in the way, for His wrath may soon be kindled. How blessed are all who take refuge in Him." Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this wonderful time of hearing of Your word. Oh Father, let us hear Your loving voice, telling us what You have accomplished for us in Your Son, Jesus Christ. Let us see through Your word the amazing pictures of heaven and how we are active participants of that reality. Let us bring glory and honor to You, even as we hear Your word. Receive all the glory. We thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Every Lord's Supper, Lord's Day, we're going through the Psalms, and I have told you that we don't have time to look at every single verse in detail. But our objective in going through the Psalms is to see the big picture, understanding what each Psalm means. First 1 through 3, why are the nations in an uproar and the peoples devising a vain thing? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, "Let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us." A very pathetic look of a sinful world. In rage, the peoples plot in vain. A truly futile thing. The sinful world take its stand to go against the Lord and His anointed. The word anointed literally in Hebrew, Messiah. In Greek, Christ. The sinful world sets itself and takes counsel together against the Lord and His Christ. The most foolish thing. a picture of sin. The sinful people do not acknowledge God and they do not obey Him. They actually hate obeying God more than being cast down to hell. The most stupid people. They dare to rage against God. They're angry at God. And this is the mind of Satan and his children. Isaiah 14 verse 13 through 14, they say, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. They are gods to themselves. And this is exactly how it was with Adam and Eve when they sinned, eating the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. As they take that fruit, they are saying to themselves, now we decide for ourselves what is good and what is evil. And when it comes to going up against God, the whole world becomes one. And even in this psalm, we see that the nations, the peoples, the kings, the rulers, they all become one with passion and hate. They hate God. They cry out, we want to live our lives the way our sinful hearts desire. We don't want God telling us what is good and what is evil. Romans chapter 1. Verse 28 says this. Verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations. And their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore, God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. These people, they suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And these simple people say to themselves, to one another, verse 3, let us tear there meaning the Lord and His Christ, let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. Let us break their chains and free ourselves from this slavery, they say. Let us be free from God. The modern society cries the same. According to them, as they see the past history, the unenlightened people of the past unnecessarily, even foolishly, lived a life of slavery to God that doesn't even exist. Let us be free from God. And let us be free from His laws. God is dead, they say. We no longer have to obey what the Bible says, they say. We decide what is right and what is wrong now. It doesn't matter what the Bible says anymore. We decide. Indeed, truly stupid people. They do not realize that being free from God is being slaves to Satan. But that is what they desire. John chapter 8 verse 44a, you are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. With passion and dedication, they rage against God. And you see this all around us. Even in your so-called secular schools, you see this. So different. So different from God's child of Psalm 1, verse 2. He delights, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law, He meditates day and night. So different from God's people. These sinful people that belong to this world. Matthew 11 verse 28 says this. Come to me, Jesus says, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. For Christians, obeying God's commandments is a delight. It is a joy. It's never heavy burden. But the sinful world is completely opposite. Obeying God for this sinful world is worse than death itself. They rather die. They rather die eternally than obey God. God's response to all of this, verse 4, He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord scoffs them at them. Can you just see this glorious sight? God, our God, your God, laughs. And we laugh at their foolishness also. Their stupidity. And God brings down the judgment to them, verse 5. Then He will speak to them in His anger and terrify them in His fury. As you already have known, because we've been saying it for such a long time, even this psalm, Psalm 2, is about Jesus Christ. It is a psalm that is written about Jesus Christ. Let us go to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 verse 23. When they had been released, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priest and the elders had said to them. And when they heard this, they lifted their voices to God with one accord and said, O Lord, it is You who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the Holy Spirit Through the mouth of our father David, your servant said, Why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples devise futile things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For truly in this city they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur. And now, Lord, take note of their hearts and grant that you bondservants, your bondservants, may speak your word with all confidence. In this psalm, it's very clear that what we see in Psalm 2 has been accomplished in the life of Jesus Christ. Yes, the whole world actually gathered to capture Jesus and kill him. Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, together, they capture Jesus and kill him. Do you see it? A terrifying picture of sinners. How far would these sinners go in their sinful way? How far? They kill God. Sinners kill God. That's how far. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the true Messiah, is the seed of woman. Do you remember in Genesis 3 verse 15? After they sinned, after Satan sinned, well, he sinned much before that, but God says to them, And I will put enmity between you, Satan, and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. Satan and his children will always rage against Christ and his people. That is God's promise, even from Genesis 3. That reality was clearly shown during the life of Jesus Christ here on earth. He was captured at the Garden of Gethsemane. A large crowd with swords and clubs surrounded him. Satan and his children surrounded him. And brothers and sisters, you and I are now invited to live the same life, being surrounded by our enemies in this world. Revelation chapter 20, let us go there together. Verse 7. When the 1,000 years, when the church age is over, when the 1,000 years are completed, Satan will be released from his prison and will come out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together for the war. The number of them is like the sand of the seashore, and they came up on the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. Do you see the final picture of the church? That is the same picture that you see in Jesus Christ when he was surrounded, he's captured, and he's killed. And church will go through the same thing. But he was resurrected from the dead, and church also will resurrect from the dead. But when we're surrounded, the church is surrounded by the sinful world that rage against her. But God comes. God comes to judge the world. judging the world is actually our salvation. So even in that revelation, the rest, what follows in verse 9, chapter 20, when they have surrounded the camp of saints and the beloved city, the fire came down from heaven and devoured them. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are also, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. That is the story. And how does God accomplish all this? Verse 6. But as for me, God says, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. How does God accomplish all this? God installs his king upon his Mount Zion. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the king. All is accomplished by our Lord Jesus sitting as the king and establishing his kingdom. This is how everything is accomplished. But you know that consummation, the fulfillment of that kingdom happens in two stages. First, spiritually fulfilled, then it will be visibly consummated when he comes back. That's how he accomplishes everything. And that king, that Messiah, speaks in verse 7. I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. As the king, he says, this is what God has decreed. Verse 7. I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will surely give the nations as your inheritance, and the very ends of the earth as your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall shatter them like earthenware. We see three things there. This is God's decree. First thing we see is in verse 7, you are my son, today I have begotten you. Let us go to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, verse 33. That God has fulfilled this promise to our children in that he raised up Jesus. As it is also written in the second Psalm, you are my son, today I have begotten you. So today I have begotten you is referring to the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. As the Messiah, that as resurrection, he is now declared as the Son of God. Not eternal Son of God. He was always Son of God eternally, but as the Messiah, his resurrection is the point where he becomes, so to speak, the Son of God. He is declared to be the Son of God. So with resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, the new era begins. This is what God decreed. That with that resurrection of our Lord, the new era, this kingdom begins. The new kingdom begins. Heaven begins. The sinful world is now passing away. And it will be judged completely through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, bruises the head of the serpent. And you and I, we too participate in that same victory. Romans chapter 16 verse 20 says, I will surely give... No, Romans chapter 16 verse 20. Let me read it to you. Chapter 16 verse 20 says, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. We saw that in Genesis 3:15, how Jesus will crush Satan's head. And here, you participate in that same victory. So with the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, the kingdom begins. And verse 8 says, ask of me, I will surely give the nations as your inheritance. The nations become God's people, His people, the citizens of that kingdom, men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. The very ends of the earth as your possession. And that is exactly what is going on even now. Acts chapter 1. Verse 7 and 8. He said to them, it is not for you to know time of or epochs which the Father has fixed by His own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. The very ends of the earth as your possession. Do you see it? Do you see that what God has decreed is being accomplished even today? People who have been chosen by God, who lives in the ends of the world, they're being saved and made into God's possession. And verse 9 says, you shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall shatter them like earthenware. The sinful world will be judged. Jesus will come back and He will judge the world. Do you see the whole redemptive history is listed there from verse 7 through 9? It all begins with Jesus Christ resurrecting from the dead. And as the King, He sits. And His kingdom begins. See, this world, sinful world, will laughing at what the Bible says. They say God is dead. But God is laughing. He knows what He's doing. His plan is carried out exactly how He planned it. Sinful people will never see it until too late. Revelation chapter 11, verse 8. And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which, that is not the right verse. Sorry, verse 18. And the nations were enraged, and your wrath came. At the time came for the dead to be judged, and the time to reward your bondservants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, the small and the great, and to destroy those who destroy the earth. Yes, God will come and judge the world. Chapter 12 of Revelation, verse 5, and she gave birth to a son, a male child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and to His throne. Chapter 19 of Revelation, verse 5, and the voice came from throne saying, give praise to our God, all you His bondservants, you who fear Him, the small and the great. Then I heard something like the voice of the great multitude, and like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty. reigns. And brothers and sisters, you also participate in that victory that Jesus Christ has accomplished. Revelation chapter 2, verse 26 and 27. He who overcomes, that's you. And he who keeps my deeds until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of the potter are broken to pieces, as I also have received authority from my Father. Do you understand? This psalm is about Jesus Christ, but because of your union with Jesus Christ, this psalm is also about you. You are also resurrected, and you also reign with God. You are the kings of God. And you will judge the world with our King, Jesus Christ. If this is so, verse 10. Now therefore, O kings, show discernment. Take warning, O judges of the earth. Worship the Lord with reverence and rejoice with trembling. Do homage to the Son, or other translation, kiss the Son, that he not become angry and you perish in the way. For his wrath may soon be kindled. How blessed are all who take refuge in him. And you know his anger has already kindled. You saw that on the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that same wrath will come upon this sinful world when he returns. The only way of salvation from God's wrath and judgment is our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, brothers and sisters, love him. Kiss our Lord Jesus Christ. The sinful world hates him. And they do not pay homage to him. They do not kiss him. Judas sold him with a kiss. But you and I are different. Because he is our King and our God. We obey him. We love him. We worship him. And this is the purpose and the meaning of our lives. His enthronement and our being his people and citizens of his kingdom, how are they accomplished? Our Lord Jesus Christ was captured by the kings and the rulers of this sinful world and killed. And the one, Jesus Christ, who will break them with a rod of iron and shatter them like pottery, he, on the cross, was broken and shattered. Because of your sin and my sin. But he was resurrected from the dead and now sits on the heavenly Mount Zion as the King. Oh, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, your King, victorious King, invites you to his heavenly banquet, his victory banquet. Do you understand what kind of honor this is to us as we come to his table? Do you see him who was resurrected and who gathers his people to his kingdom and who will judge this world when he comes back? Everything has accomplished already. One day it will be visible. And that victorious King, the King that even our God the Father called my King, that King invites you to his heavenly banquet, his victory banquet.
Come, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, come to your victorious King and kiss Him. Do homage to Him. Worship and serve Him with reverence. But let us rejoice and enjoy our God. Yes, how proper the ending of this psalm is. How blessed are all who take refuge in Him. Amen. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, this sinful world rages against You and Your Christ. But Father, we thank You that You are in control, that You are laughing. For You have already installed Your King on Your holy mountain, Mount Zion, heavenly Armageddon. And You have decreed, and all has been accomplished by Your Son. O Father, we stand before Your Son, the victorious King, who has already judged us on the cross, or who will also come and judge the world. Oh, Father, we come and we come to kiss Him. We come to worship Him. We come to love Him. We come to worship and praise His holy name. Bless us, God. Bless Your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.